Before I start, I'm going to let y'all see a few pictures of Poland and what we're doing in Poland tonight to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. The night cometh when no man can work.
Amen.
Your night's coming. My night's coming. I don't know when it's going to be. When it does, that'll be it.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 14, I want to start reading with from verse. We'll start with verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God, the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. And thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. It's a very well-known story. If you've read the Old Testament, you know that God told the children of Israel to go and possess the land of Canaan, and Moses sent out 12 spies. Two came back, said, Hey, let's do it. We can conquer that land. 10 came back and said, No way. The giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we just can't do it. We're not going to go, and we're going to die, and let's just go back to Egypt. And they discouraged the hearts of the whole people of Israel, and because of that, they all had to wander for 40 more years in the wilderness, including Joshua and Caleb, although they were okay. They brought back a good report, but they had to wander also. But I want to just bring out a few things here in the life of Caleb that were a blessing to me and a challenge to me, and I hope I can challenge you tonight. Some qualities that I saw in the life of Caleb. First of all, he's telling this whole story after they wandered around for 40 more years. So he says, 45 years actually, because it says here in verse 7, 40 years old was I. And then, go down to verse 10, in the last part of the verse, he says, And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, most of us would think that when you're 85 years old, you're just stuck in your house and you have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. But Caleb, he says, Look, I'm 85 years old, but I remember clearly the promise that was given me about this land that was going to be my inheritance.
That's right.
So 45 years after the promise was given, Caleb still remembers the promise, but still believes the promise.
Amen.
Now, remembering a promise is one thing, but believing it is something else. We can all of us remember certain verses in the Bible that we've learned from the time we were very young or when we were starting our Christian walk. And we can probably quote a lot of them, at least when someone starts it, we can finish the verse. You know, we all can do that pretty well. But the question that I have tonight is, 45 years from now, will you still be believing the promises of God? Now, some of you may think, Brother Joe, I don't want to be here 45 years from now. All right? How about 45 years from the day you found the promise? It's probably been about 45 years for some of you people. Do you still believe the promises?
Amen.
Are you still claiming the promises of God in your life that God gave you many, many years ago?
Amen.
It makes me wonder how many times we doubt God's Word just because of time.
Amen.
Think, oh, you know, it's been a long time. Things have changed. I'm older now. I'm weaker now. Or the world has changed. Not the same world anymore. People are different. You know, when I was young, when I was brought up, things were different. Yeah, they were. I can tell you for sure. I'm not as old as some of you, but I can tell you things have changed drastically. But God hasn't changed.
Amen.
His Word hasn't changed. The promises of God are still yea, and in Him, amen. We can still believe God's promises. The Bible says that His Word will not return unto Him void. I wonder how many times we forget that simple promise. And we fail to give God's Word because we think, you know, they don't look like they're going to receive it. Talked about that this morning in the morning meeting, how often we judge people by their appearance or by their face or by their situation. We think, nah, they won't take a track. They're not going to receive it. Why talk to them? Hey, we don't know.
Amen.
But God said His Word would not return void. And we're here this week in a mission conference to remind ourselves that we have the promises of God. We have the Word of the Almighty God, the sword of the Spirit. He has promised to bless His Word. He told us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You believe that? The gospel is the power of God. We don't need tricks. We don't need fancy methods. We don't need lots of money even to do it. We just need to preach the gospel. And yet, sometimes we fail to believe God's promise, and sometimes just because of the time elapse. Think, oh, it's been a long time. Been a long time maybe since I've seen a soul saved, and oh, I don't know. Maybe God's done. Maybe it's not going to happen in my lifetime anymore. Hey, Caleb said here in verse, let's read verse 6 in the middle. He says, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." So Caleb is reminding Joshua. He said, "Hey Joshua, remember those days when we were together, spying out that land? We came back and we were the only two. Remember what God promised us? He said He would give us this land as an inheritance."
Amen.
God told us. And Caleb still, 45 years later, remembered the promise and believed the promise. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. The promises of God are worth remembering and worth believing. We've all been let down by man's promises. Your boss, your family, your neighbor, your friends, who knows who, your president. We've all been let down by promises of different people. But hey, God says here, Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is not going to forget your work and your labor of love. He is not going to forget it. If you are working for God in His name, for His glory, He says He won't forget it.
Amen.
And there will be a reward.
Amen.
Are you believing God's promises?
Amen.
Maybe you're doubting God's promises so much these days that you've just turned back to the world. You think God's promises aren't worth remembering.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think about Lot. You think about the opportunity that Lot had being with Abraham. What an incredible story. Can you imagine being Lot yourself? Walking with Abraham? Now, we have the advantage of being on this side of the whole thing, and we can look back and say, wow, why would he ever leave Abraham, you know? But hey, he did leave him. He didn't have to leave him. He could have taken a chance. He could have taken a gamble. And yeah, it's amazing what people will gamble on and what they won't gamble on. I mean, literally. People will gamble even a few bucks on the lottery, but they'll gamble a whole lot more on other things. They'll gamble their whole lives on many things. They gamble their lives with drugs and with alcohol and with really bad friends and really bad environment. And they'll gamble their whole life away, but they don't even imagine that it's worth taking a gamble believing God's promises. Now, if you'll just live for God, serve God, do God's will, and in the end, it will pay off.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, love not the world.
Amen.
Are you loving the world tonight too much?
Yes.
Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that it's worse to be an enemy of the world in order to be a friend of God?
Yes.
You can't have it both ways. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love the world and at the same time expect God to bless you and to protect you and to honor you and to just give you so many opportunities and so much mercy. Oh, you may say, oh, but I know so-and-so. He was in the world and then he came back and everything is fine and there's no problems. Hey, yeah. But God didn't promise that kind of an outcome every time. God didn't say, hey, you can go off in the world like the prodigal son and you can always come back and get back everything you lost and you will never have a problem with your health and you'll have a great family. God did not promise that kind of outcome when you stray from God and you go out and play in the world. But that's what happens. Many people, they forget and they doubt God's promises and they start playing with the world and they wonder why they've lost so much. Well, 45 years later, Caleb says, I remember. God promised it, and I'm here to claim that promise.
Amen.
I'm here to claim what God promised to give me. We're here to talk about missions, about the lost. You saw the pictures. Nothing staged, just people. Some of them lost. All of them at one time were lost. Some of them now saved.
Amen.
But you know what? At one time, they, me, you, were all lost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Not a very long verse. It doesn't even have any real complicated words. I don't think that we have to go to the Greek to figure it out even, do we? You don't even have to have a dictionary to figure this one out. I mean, it is just simple as can be. If our gospel is hid, if it's hidden to somebody, if it's hidden to your neighbor, if it's hidden to your mother, if it's hidden to your boss, if it's hidden to Polish people, to Russian people, to Indian people, to Chinese people, it is hidden to them that are lost.
Yeah, right.
They're lost without the gospel. That is their only hope.
That's right. Amen.
That's why God said, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. They need the gospel to be saved. Are you believing God's promises? Are you believing that God can still save souls today? Think about this church. 38 years of mission conferences. We have nothing to boast of. I'm sure that most of us here can say, this was not even in our wildest dreams. I don't think that Brother Lindell and anybody else that was here in the beginning said, you know, let's have a mission conference and then we'll have, you know, one every year for the next 38 years and we'll have sent so many missionaries and we'll have sent so much money and there'll be so many churches. Hey, you can't plan these kind of things.
Yeah. Amen.
But 38 years later, by the grace of God, there are still some people in this church, and I hope every one of you tonight is part of these people, that say, yeah, God can still save people.
Amen.
God can still save souls.
Amen.
He can still save people on the South Side, North Side, and Poland, and Mexico, and Austin, and anywhere else. There is no limit what God can do if we just believe His Word and preach His Word.
That's right. Amen.
45 years later. How about 7 years from now? That'll be number 45, right? On the 45th annual mission conference, will you be here still saying, God can still save souls? He can still send somebody else. He can still raise up preachers. He can still send out families. He can still support as many as He wants. There's no limit what God can do.
Amen.
Right. Or you have said, 45 years, I don't know. I think I'm clocking out here about 40. We'll find something new, some modern church, some fancy church that's got, you know, better equipment, and you don't have to trip over the cords when you're preaching, you know, and nicer ceilings, and who knows what, better sound, and a big screen, and you don't have to hold a songbook in your hand. I mean, that's really tough. I get tired of holding that songbook in my hand. It just wears me out. I want to just be able to read off the screen. I'm going to go to a different church because this is just too much for me. Is that going to be you? It happens. It does happen. I'm not just making jokes. It does happen. Caleb had faith 45 years later. Not just 45 years later. He's 85 years old.
Yeah. Amen.
I can't even imagine. I still don't believe that I'm 48. I still feel 28. I'm trying to think how I've been preaching for over 30 years and I'm only 28. It just doesn't work out, you know. The math doesn't fit, you know. 85? Listen to this guy. Will this be you when you're 85? Hey, you could live to be 85. My mother-in-law is 85 years old. She's been to visit us in Poland 9 times. 85 years old. Well, he had faith to believe God's promise 45 years after the fact. And that's 45 years, 40 of which they were wandering around in the desert. He wasn't in some fancy, you know, hotel for 40 years. He wasn't living high on the hog for 40 years. He was wandering around with a bunch of rebellious people in the desert for 40 years.
Yep.
Makes you wonder why he stuck with them.
Yeah.
Just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. He says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive.
That's right.
Is there any other explanation?
No.
Ask anybody here that's 85. They'll probably tell you. The Lord kept, I'm not sure why He has, but He has, you know. Some people are 85, I know, and I, when I'm 85, I'll probably be just like you, thinking, oh, I'm not sure I want to be here any longer. I'm ready to go home and rest from all my labors. But if you're alive at 85, you'll probably agree with Caleb, the Lord has kept me alive. Notice His humility. Ah, God kept me alive because I'm one of the two spies that came back with that good report. I mean, it was me and Joshua. We're alive because we are it. I mean, we were the chosen two, you know. We were the ones that did it right. And that's why we're still here. He didn't say that. I mean, he did say, look, we're the ones that have the good report, and God promised us, but the Lord hath kept me alive.
That's right.
How humble will you be at 85? How humble will you be at 85 when everybody else is gone and you're still around?
Yeah.
And you think, well, I must be pretty special. I must have eaten my Wheaties just like I should, you know? It was all that exercise I did. All the miles I put on the treadmill and all that tofu that I ate and who knows what else you eat, you know? No! It's the Lord that keeps you alive. By the grace of God I am what I am, Paul said. God gives grace to the humble. Let's not ever forget that. We have nothing, nothing to boast of. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The Lord's mercies. If you're here today and you've been saved any amount of time, you have nothing to boast of. It is by God's grace that you're here today.
Amen.
Are you thankful for what God has given you? Are you humble about it? Or do you boast as if it's something that you've done? Paul said, everything I have, I've received. Why would we boast of anything when everything we have is a gift from God?
Amen.
Caleb says,
thank you, Lord.
God has kept me alive. What will your attitude be 45 years from now? How about just right now?
Amen.
Since the day you got saved.
Uh-huh.
Have you grown more humble? I'm more proud. Do you look down at other people without the gospel and say, oh man, good thing. It's a good thing I sought God. It's a good thing I listened to the gospel. It's a good thing I opened that door and took that track. It's a good thing I came to church. You ought to be thanking God. You ought to be more humble today than you were the day you got saved. I don't care how old you are, how young you ought to be more humble today than you were the day you got saved.
Yeah.
That includes me too.
Amen.
We should be more humble today than we were then. The Lord has kept me alive. Well, look at verse 11. Let's keep on reading verse 10, And now behold, the Lord kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. That's amazing. Now, probably none of us here can even begin to claim that blessing. I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. Maybe you are. If you are, great. But Caleb was. 85 years old and still as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. That's hard to imagine. But he was. So if we can't claim maybe that possibility, maybe you think this is no way, well, that's fine. God isn't too impressed with physical strength anyway.
Right.
He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man, does he?
No.
Not important to him how strong your legs are, how good looking they are, how fat they're skinny they are, how strong you are, how tall you are, how short you are. It doesn't matter to God. He doesn't care at all.
Amen.
But how about your spiritual strength? How strong will you be spiritually at 85? Will you, just because of time elapsed, say, oh, it's been a long time. It's time just to sit back and do nothing. I mean, everybody gets to retire, right? I'm not against you retiring at all. Yeah. I'm against you losing your spiritual strength. I'm against you sitting back and saying, no, I don't have to work anymore. I've got my IRAs, I got my 401k, and I got my retirement, I got my Social Security. I'm going to just sit back and take it easy and feed my dog and plant my garden and just, you know, walk around the park. That's fine, good, great. But how about your spiritual strength? Are you going to retire from spiritual work too? Are you going to quit praying? Quit reading your Bible. Quit meeting with the believers. Quit edifying believers. You know, quit supporting the pastors and praying for the pastors and praying for the missionaries. Are you going to just retire from everything, even spiritual work? Maybe you say, well, I'll just cut back. Why? You have less time or what? Yeah, I'm retired. I can't pray as much now. You know, I got my garden and I got my kids, my grandkids, and I got my motor home. And hey, if you're retired, you ought to have lots of time for prayer and reading the Bible and doing whatever you can do for God. Amen. What did Caleb say? I'm as strong today as I was when Moses sent me out. How strong will you be? Moses is also strong. Look at Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Caleb was a kid compared to Moses. Look at Moses, 34 verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Maybe we got the wrong idea of what, you know, growing old means. We think it means quitting. Just taking it easy all around, across the board. I know it's easy for me to say it right now at 48, but I hope at 85 I can still praise the Lord and read my Bible and pray for missionaries and maybe even preach. Who knows? And once in a while, Deb and I start talking. It's hard to believe that we've been married 30 years, and we've been on the mission field for over 30 years. I've got not only brothers that have retired, I've got nephews that have retired. I'm thinking, I can imagine being retired. I mean, come on, this is crazy. Retire and do what? Sit around and just, you know, play skip bow or something? Or what are you doing at 48 and retired? No way! As long as God gives me strength, I want to do something. Amen. 45 years later, he was still strong. Then he says, in the same verse, verse 11, even so is my strength now for war. Just in case you missed what he was trying to say. He didn't just say, look, I can still walk. Unlike my grandfather. My grandfather at like 70 or 75 years old could still take a broom sideways and jump over it and back. I couldn't do it at 15. He wasn't just strong. He was still strong enough to be a soldier and to go out and fight warfare. He was still strong to go out and to come in. He wasn't a kamikaze, you know. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go one out, one, you know, go out in a blaze of glory, you know. I'm going to go out and get one last shot, give it all I got, and that's, no, no, no. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to come in. And I'm going to go out, and I'm going to come in. I'm not going to quit.
Amen.
85. What it says. You can fight it, you can argue, you can think all kinds of ideas and all kinds of reasons why it doesn't fit you, but he's 85 and he still has a burden, a desire to go out and enough strength to do it. Not just desire, but strength to go out and come back in. We are in a war, brethren. This is a war.
Amen.
And there are casualties. There are It's a serious situation. Amen. We've got families messed up, marriages messed up, kids messed up, our whole country's messed up. This is a war. You got people dying all around us. And the devil is just rejoicing in all the defeat, in all the disaster, in all the messed up lives, and people dying and going to hell. Are you aware of the fact that we are still at war?
Amen.
I don't care how comfortable you are, that's great. I am not knocking comfort in any way. If you're comfortable, you have air conditioning, praise the Lord, great, you know? I'm not against air conditioning. Not against being retired from your job. But don't forget, we're still at war.
Amen.
Till the day we die, we're still at war with the enemy. And He has not given up. He's not risen the white flag yet.
That's right.
Will you still have strength for war 45 years from now? You younger people. I'm not sure I'll be here 45 years. That's pushing it. 93? That sounds scary. But you younger people, like my kids, their generation, where will you be 45 years from now? Will this church still be standing 45 years from now? But more than likely, my generation will not be here. And if we're here, have mercy on us. Remember what we did for you, all right? But I'm quite confident that my generation, if we are here, we won't be able to do the things we're doing now. So who's going to do it 45 years from now? Are you going to do it?
Amen.
Are you going to have enough faith to say, yeah, I can pick up the baton, I can carry it on. I can pick up that torch and go on with it. I can carry it on. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Well, that tells us about his strength he had after 45 years. And I could go on. I hope you'll think about it. I hope it'll make you think tonight. One more thing that really struck me. And before I go on, I do have one more thing I want to say to those of you who are my elders. Titus chapter 2. I don't want to miss this because I think it's quite important. Titus chapter 2. If you're 85, 84, 74, 64, I don't care. I'm talking to you, those who are my elders. Verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What that tells me? We still need you folks. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what any other country thinks about their aged people. I don't care what the young people today think about elderly people. We need you people still.
Amen.
If you're 85, we still need you. We need your prayers. We need your wisdom. We need your teaching. We need your encouragement.
Yeah.
We don't need you to just sit back and say, no, I'm done. I'm 85. I can't do it. I'm 80. I'm retired. I can't do anything. You probably can't do as much as you used to do, but you can still do something.
Yeah. Amen.
Otherwise, why would he bother saying, hey, you aged men, be an example. You aged women, teach. Come on. Don't give up now.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
These young people need the wisdom
Amen.
Of the aged people.
Yeah. Amen.
I like that. Something I saw recently, somebody asked an elderly woman, how is it that your generation has so many good, strong marriages? And our generation, it is falling apart everywhere. And she said, well, you know, when my generation, when things broke, we just fixed it. We didn't throw it away and go buy a new one. We fixed it. If it was a TV or a car or whatever it was, a bicycle, we fixed it. We got some baling wire and some tape and some glue, whatever. We fixed it up. But this young generation, they don't fix anything. Just pitch it and go buy a new one. Oh, my wife's mad at me. Well, I'll get another wife. We need the wisdom of the aged.
Amen.
Don't give up. The last one, 14:12. I didn't say the last verse, by the way. That's the last point. Joshua 14:12. Now therefore, give me my motorhome. Isn't that what he said? Now therefore, give me my lazy boy with my remote control. Give me this mountain. What? That'd be like my wife saying, honey, I want you to buy me an apartment on the 5th floor with no elevator. Yeah. We live on the 2nd, well, she says it's the 3rd floor, but by Polish standards it's the 2nd floor. We live on the 3rd floor of an apartment building, no elevator. Sometimes it's a long walk up them stairs with all the groceries, you know, 5, 6 or 8 bags of groceries. When you're 85, you don't want to live on the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th floor with no elevator. And you're not going to want to live on a mountain, are you? He wanted a mountain at 85. Yeah, I want a mountain. It's quite a request. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. It's like he just has a death wish. I mean, I want a mountain, and not just any mountain. I want one where there's a bunch of enemies on. I want a mountain that's covered with bad guys. I mean, I want some really, really bad guys on that mountain, and I want to conquer that mountain. It just baffles me, the desire of an 85-year-old man to want to still conquer something like this.
Yeah.
And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out.
Amen.
He still has a desire to drive out the enemy at 85 years old. He hasn't lost his desire. He hasn't lost the vision of the battle that we're in. He hasn't lost the vision that there is a battle between God and evil, between light and darkness.
Amen.
He hasn't forgot about it.
Yeah.
And he's not passing it on to somebody else.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He says, I can get that mountain. You go get your own mountain. I want this mountain.
Yeah,
you go get your own. I want this one.
Right.
God promised to me, I want this mountain.
Yeah.
It's quite a request for an 85-year-old man. What's your desire today? Oh, when you first got saved, if you're like any most people I know, like myself, wow. Let's win the world.
Amen.
Let's go door knocking all day long. And maybe 6 hours, we can probably get about 10 people saved, 15 maybe, you know? The church will grow by leaps and bounds. Hey, praise God for that kind of optimism, you know?
Amen.
What about now?
Right.
Oh, now maybe you're more realistic, and I understand that. Be realistic. That's fine. But how about your desire?
Amen.
You still want that mountain? You still want to conquer those strongholds? You still want to go out and preach the gospel in other cities? You still have any vision left for anything else?
Amen.
Maybe you're not 85 yet.
Right.
All the more reason you should be still desiring things.
Amen.
You're 45, 35, 25, and you've lost your desire for spiritual things, for victory. You've lost your desire to win some victories. You've lost your desire to win souls. Oh, it's hard. Of course it is. So are mountains.
Yeah.
So are the Anakim. There's some bad news, I think. Man, that was not easy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But Caleb didn't lose his vision.
Yeah.
My point is simply, there are still mountains out there. There are still strongholds. There are still enemies out there. There are still souls to be won.
Amen.
There are still families to be rescued.
Amen.
There are still children to be rescued. There are still needs out there that you can have a part in fulfilling if you'll just keep your vision and not give up and say, oh, I just can't do it anymore. Maybe you can't do the same things you used to do. Maybe you have to do it by prayer. I understand. I'm not trying to say that an 85-year-old man is going to preach like a 25-year-old man, but you can still desire the mountains.
Amen.
You can still long and pray for more laborers. Pray for more preachers. Pray for more souls. Pray for the church to grow. You can still have the desire.
Amen.
Chapter 15 and verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. It wasn't just a desire. God gave him the desire of his heart. He conquered that mountain. He conquered the enemy. He conquered the Anakims. God gave him his heart's desire.
Amen.
He had faith 45 years later. He had humility 45 years later. He had strength and had desire. Where will you be 45 years from now? Where will you be 5 years from now? 5 months from now?
Right.
We have an example right here. There's no reason to not have the same faith, the same humility, the same strength, and the same desire 5 years from now as you have now. May God give us more than we have right now.
Amen.
But it shouldn't decrease, should it? Faith, humility, strength, and desire. What are yours like? Amen. God bless you.
Amen.